God, in his infinite wisdom, sovereignly decreed a plan designed to bring the most glory to himself. God would certainly not be glorified by condemning little infants and mentally disabled people who died and were incapable of placing faith in Christ. See, loved one, God is characterized by love. We read in 1 John 4:16, "We have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love." And in keeping with the love of God to incorporate in the plan of salvation a means of saving those who, though sinful, are utterly incapable of believing in him.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today, we continue in our series entitled Only a Heartbeat Away. It's a subject all about death, heaven, and hell. Today, we enter into part 11, having to do specifically with heaven for infants and little children who die much too soon. I personally became interested in the subject of infant salvation when my wife and I suffered a miscarriage back in the early 1990s. That was painful, especially for my wife. Later on, after our daughter came into this world, when my daughter entered into her 20s, she too suffered a miscarriage. It was tragic, terribly sad. And yet, I began to learn more and more about this subject as I looked at Exodus chapter 21, Psalm 139, Jeremiah chapter 1. This helped me take in head knowledge from the Bible about this subject. But since those miscarriages of my wife and my daughter, I've taken this subject more personally. And since then, I've met lots of people who've suffered through this same heartbreaking experience. And today, as I grow older, I've grown to consider this issue as one of profound importance because of the number of infant deaths, miscarriages, and sadly, abortions around the world. The Bible portrays the baby in the womb as a living human being, body and eternal soul. So we must consider both born and unborn infants in our lesson today. Because of the staggering number of infant deaths around the world, it's very understandable that Christian parents express concern about their eternal destiny. The issue for Christian parents is this: if faith in Christ is required for salvation, and if infants lack the capacity to exercise faith, well, then what are we to conclude about whether they are saved? I might add that we can ask the same question of people with cognitive disabilities. The ultimate question is, what about heaven for those who can't believe? That's a serious question. Not surprisingly, this issue has been through a lot of theological debate over the years, and various solutions have been suggested. Some people believe that infants and young children are automatically saved simply because they seem to be sinless. The problem for this viewpoint is that they are not sinless. The Bible portrays all human beings, since the fall of Adam, as born into the world with a sin nature and a sin problem. Still, others find the solution in the love of God. It's suggested that because God is characterized by pure love, he would never send an infant to hell. It is true that God is loving. He is love. But this view fails to consider God's equally important attribute of holiness. You and I must not forget that God never bases an action on just one attribute to the exclusion of others. Let's get more to the point. God never abandons holiness in order to be loving. Infants are born into the world with a sin nature. And this is something that God, in his holiness, cannot simply ignore. And still others base their solution on God's foreknowledge. In that view, God looks down the corridors of time at the hypothetical future of the dead child and assesses whether or not the child would have trusted in Christ had he continued living. Those babies who would have trusted in Christ are deemed saved, and those who would not have trusted in Christ are deemed unsaved. Now, I realize that all those viewpoints come from sincere Christians who are trying to make sense of an extremely difficult issue. But I need to be honest in saying that I think they all have some serious theological deficiencies here. In what follows, I'm going to provide some good reasons for concluding that infants who die are immediately ushered into God's glorious presence in heaven. We begin with the recognition that all of Scripture points to the universal need of salvation. For all people are universally lost in sin. That's a fact. This includes infants and small children. Of course, as we hold newborn infants in our arms, they have incredibly smooth skin and silky smooth hair. They're soft and cuddly and make endearing cooing sounds. But nevertheless, the cancer of sin lurks deep within. From a Bible perspective, every one of us, including every infant, is lost, perishing, condemned, and under God's wrath. You and I have a sin nature from the moment of conception. In Psalm 51, verse 5, David affirmed of himself, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, this does not mean that David's mother somehow sinned in becoming pregnant with David. No. Rather, it means that from the moment David was conceived, iniquity was deep within him. This is why the New Testament categorically states that all human beings are by nature children of wrath. All are born in sin. And Romans says, none is righteous, no, not one. So we therefore, we must avoid thinking that infants are born into the world with a sinless nature. See, the same sin that bars me from heaven also bars young infants from heaven. A Bible professor, a very wise man, used to say that infants are lovely but lost, delightful but depraved. Therefore, the solution to infant salvation must be found in other theological considerations. Well, on one hand, infants are born into the world in a state of sin. But on the other hand, little infants are not portrayed in Scripture as morally culpable beings. Not until they reach the age of accountability. So the question comes, well, what is the age of accountability? It's not the same for every child. Some children mature faster than others. Some come into an awareness of personal evil and righteousness earlier than others do. Now, James 4, verse 17, gets to the heart of the matter, where he writes, "Whoever knows the right thing to do but fails to do it, for him it is sin." This verse implies that when a child comes into a personal awareness of oughts and shoulds, he or she has reached the age of accountability and therefore becomes morally accountable to God. Now, I believe that all infants who die before the age of accountability are automatically saved and are issued directly into the presence of the Lord in heaven upon the moment of their death. There's good reason to conclude that at the moment infants die, and not before, the benefits of Jesus' atoning death on the cross are applied to them. At that moment, the infants become saved and are immediately issued into the presence of God in heaven. And this view is in keeping with not only the love of God, but also His holiness. In reading the New Testament, especially the writings of the Apostle Paul, we find a predominant emphasis on the grace of God in salvation. Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8 reveals that one of the primary purposes of God in saving human beings is to display His wondrous grace in all wisdom and insight. So this being the case, one naturally wonders how such amazing grace could ever be seen as compatible with sending infants to hell. And how could such an act ever be considered compatible with God's wisdom and insight? Think about it. It would be a cruel mockery for God to call upon infants to do what they could not do, and to hold them accountable and responsible for that. At such a young age, children simply do not have the capacity to exercise saving faith in Christ. It's impossible. It is an educational experience to use a concordance to look up every single reference to hell in the Bible. This exercise yields the conclusion that not a single verse indicates that infants and young children are there. Not one case. Only adults capable of making decisions are portrayed as being there. In keeping with this, infants and little bitty children are not mentioned as participating in the judgment of the wicked dead, the great white throne judgment that we see in Revelation. The complete silence of Scripture regarding infants being judged or being in hell must be taken to mean that they are simply not there. Amen. Because of Jesus' identity as God, we get a feel for God's heart toward children in the words of Jesus. Now, consider Matthew 18, verses 1 through 14, where it says, "The disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. See, that you do not despise one of these little ones. It is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Hallelujah. The little children never opposed Jesus in the slightest. All of them allowed Jesus to do with them as he pleased. There was no rejection on their part. And oh, how Jesus loved them. How very much Jesus loved little children. We are even told that people must become like the little children to enter God's kingdom. Now, all things considered, I do not see how someone could read Matthew 18, verses 1 through 14, and conclude that it is within the realm of possibility that Jesus could damn such little ones to hell. No. 1,000 times no. The attributes of God provide great supportive evidence for the salvation of infants. God, in his infinite wisdom, sovereignly decreed a plan designed to bring the most glory to himself. God would certainly not be glorified by condemning little infants and mentally disabled people who died and were incapable of placing faith in Christ. See, loved one, God is characterized by love. We read in John, 1 John 4:16, we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. God not only loves, he is love. And in keeping with the love of God to incorporate in the plan of salvation a means of saving those who, though sinful, are utterly incapable of believing in him. God is full of mercy. It says so in Psalms, Lamentations, Romans, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians. God is full of grace and truth. Now, the word mercy refers to the withholding of deserved punishment. The word grace refers to God's undeserved favor. God not only shows undeserved favor for people, but also withholds deserved punishment as well. How could God be gracious and merciful if he failed to incorporate in the plan of salvation a means of saving those who are sinful but utterly incapable of believing in him? God is good. Nahum 1:7 affirms that the Lord is good. Psalm 31 exclaims, how abundant is your goodness? So surely God in his goodness would not require of an infant something that the infant could not possibly do, that is, exercise faith for salvation. God, in his goodness, would surely incorporate in the plan of salvation a means of saving sinful individuals who are utterly incapable of believing in him. And also, God is just. His actions are fair and just. The Bible says the Lord works in righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So, surely, the Lord in his justice and righteousness would not demand of infants something that they were utterly incapable of. That is, exercising saving faith. It would be righteous and just for God to make other provisions for them. Now, here's something to think about. From a scriptural perspective, God's wrath comes upon people only because they refuse God's way of escape. This means that human beings ultimately choose to be his enemies. Those who are incapable of believing in him are not his enemies. Infants little tiny children lack the ability to choose, so they cannot possibly be the objects of God's wrath. It makes infinitely more sense to say that God, who is characterized by wisdom, love, mercy, grace, and goodness, incorporated in his plan of salvation a means of saving those who are sinful, but are utterly incapable of believing in him. The salvation of infants is therefore in complete keeping with the attributes of God. Hallelujah. King David believed that he would be reconciled with his dead infant son in heaven. David affirmed, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? No. I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." Oh, David here affirmed that when he died, he would go to be with his son in heaven. Hallelujah. The basis of the judgment of the lost provides yet another supportive evidence that infants and little children who die go to heaven. Let's consider the description of this judgment in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 13. Read this with me, if you would. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done." Now notice that these people are judged according to what they had done. Infants and little tiny children have no moral awareness and are not responsible for the deeds they commit. So this judgment must be applicable, or I should say, not applicable to them. No, not at all. So, as we close this podcast today, I want to conclude simply and straightforwardly. Heaven receives those who can't believe. If a little child should die before reaching the age of accountability, the benefits of Christ's death are applied to that child at the moment of death. And that little one is issued immediately into the presence of God in heaven. And loved one, this includes pre-born babies. That is, tiny babies who die in the womb due to a miscarriage or an abortion. They're with the Father in heaven. They're with Jesus right now. Rest in that, dear one. You will see them again. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this truth that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Father, we are so very thankful for the infinite wisdom and insight that was exercised in bringing about our salvation, including that of tiny little infants. And we are forever, forever grateful that our salvation is based entirely upon your wonderful, amazing grace. We marvel that you are such a merciful God. And we praise you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for listening today, dear one. I pray that these lessons have been, this series has been a blessing to you. Please check out our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Check out all our messages, our books and resources. They'll be a great blessing to you. I know they will. And pastors, check out the testimonials page on our website. And please do prayerfully consider inviting me to come and to speak at your church and in your community. God has moved powerfully in our services all across America. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his grace to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great, great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your very long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.